you once again, Pathfinders, for ministering to us today. We pray that God will continue to use you as you continue to minister to others as well. And we thank you for that. Happy Sabbath, Church. Just want to go straight to our message this afternoon. Why don't we bow our heads together and pray? Our Father in heaven, one more time, return before your throne of grace. We thank you on this Pathfinder Sabbath for being with us, for allowing our Pathfinders to minister to us and lead us to worship. And now the moment has come that you may speak to us. As always, I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Christ, so that all eyes will remain fixed on you as you speak to your people. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read somewhere that worship is not about us. Worship is all about giving ourselves again to God. As we reflect this morning on a passage of scripture that we read, just wanted to share with you a few excerpts from this particular scripture, and then we will move on. My title this morning is God's Opportunity in My Impossibility. God's Opportunity in My Impossibility. Many of you are familiar with this part, but I'll start with that. One day in 1955, a 42-year-old African-American seamstress riding a bus in Montgomery, Alabama, violated segregation laws by refusing to give up her seat to a white passenger. The enemy Rosa Parks faced must have looked like an invincible warrior. The governmental laws and cultural norms were all aligned against her. She was arrested for her refusal to conform. Rosa Parks perceived things others did not see, and she was confident in the righteousness of her cause. This simple act of an unassuming but disenfranchised woman became the spark of a movement led by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., organizing the boycott of the Montgomery bus system. This incident led to the desegregation of buses in 1956. Mrs. Parks would later say that it was time for someone to stand up, or in my case, someone to sit down. It is time in the day and age that we're living for someone to stand up against the giants of evil that are pervading our society and our church communities. If you have your Bibles, turn back with me to the book of 1 Samuel. And this time I want to read in your hearing, beginning from verse 41 to 47. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 41 to 47. I will read in your hearing from the New Living Translation. You can follow in the translation of your choice. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 41 to 47. If you have it, say amen. Beginning with verse 41. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog?" he roared at David, "that you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. Verse 47, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give it to us. It's a very familiar story. It's told to children from when they are young. Just a matter of fact, I was reading it to my grandson the other day as we were just having Bible story time together. David's dramatic victory of Goliath has become a classic for all ages. Many of us are familiar with the details of the story in our early childhood. Who among us has not felt the terror caused by a bully like Goliath? The giant of a man who boasts as though he is invincible. Who can resist the innocence of the young shepherd boy who simply cannot understand why this culprit is permitted to defy the armies of the living God? It is the story of slings and stones versus sword, spear, and javelin. It is the story of defiant military aggression versus purity and faith. A story of right versus might, tall versus short, and of youth versus maturity. It is an account that has brought millions to the faith, because here purity and faith are victorious over might. Can you stay with me for a moment, for a few minutes? Unlike so many of our personal experiences, our passage for consideration picks up after 40 days of taunting by Goliath. This young man David, slender and without a beard, kneels by the brook, mud moistens his knees. He's not admiring his youthful features. He's not searching for his reflection. He's searching for stones, smooth stones, the kind that stacks neatly into a shepherd's pouch and rests of the shepherd's leather sling. Goliath stares down from the hillside. Only disbelief keeps him from laughing. He and his Philistine army have filled their half of the valley into a valley of spears. They are growling, bloodthirsty gang of hoodlums, boasting of durags and barbed wire tattoos. Goliath towers above them all. Some say he was 9 feet 9 inches tall. He is wearing 125 pounds of armor, size 20 collar, and 56 inch belt. His biceps bust, thigh muscles ripple, and he boasts as he belches across the valley. Verse 1 Samuel, verse 17, verse 10, simply he says, send me a man who will fight me. This has gone on for 40 days now. No Hebrew volunteers. Until today. Until David shows up. David just showed up this morning. He clocked out of sheep watching to deliver bread and cheese to his brothers at the battlefront. And this is where he hears Goliath defying God. And that is when he makes his decision. He takes the staff in his hand and chooses 5 smooth stones from the brook and puts them in the shepherd's bag. His sling is in his hand. David draws near the Philistine, and Goliath scoffs at him. He says to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Skinny, scrawny David, bulky, brutish Goliath. The toothpick versus the tornado. The mini bike attacking an 18-wheeler. David against his giant. As I read this story, I am well aware that right now, many of us are facing giants in our lives. Whether it's our young people, whether it's you who under the sound of my voice, all of us are facing some giants in our lives. Your Goliath does not carry a sword or shield. Your Goliath could be brandishing blades of unemployment. Your giant brandishes blades of abandonment, sexual abuse, or depression. Your giant does not parade up and down the hills of error. Your giant parades through your office, your bedroom, your classroom, and your neighborhood. Your giant brings bills you cannot pay, grades you cannot make, and people you cannot please. Are you with me this morning? For some of us to escape our giants, your Goliath brings whiskey you cannot resist, pornography you cannot refuse, a career you cannot escape, a past you cannot shake, and a future you cannot face. You know very well the roar of your Goliath. You recognize him the moment he steps into your world. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 16 says, for 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Your giant does the same. Can I talk to someone this morning? He takes his stand every day. First thought of the morning becomes the last worry of the night. This giant of yours, he just will not let you have peace. Can someone talk to me today? Your Goliath dominates your day and infiltrates your joy. He has long stalked you. I know I'm talking to someone this morning. Somebody needs to take their stand against their giant today, including our young people. I talked to some time back. It was this young man who was going to school. So I just happened to sit in church and ask him, how have you been doing? And many times we don't really listen to our young people and our children. Are you with me this morning? We just see them and we just either say hello and high-five them and walk away, or we don't even simply pay attention. But this time I just wanted him to sit with me. I just hang out with me. How is it really going on with you? And I saw his eyes downcast. And I asked him, it's okay, you can talk with me. And he began to share with me, number one, how there's a bully in the bus that has not given him peace and he does not know what to do. He had been suspended several times because he kept pushing back on this bully. So even our young people have giants who are in their pathway, taking away their joy every day. For David, Goliath needed to be stopped. Goliath's family was an ancient enemy of Israel. Joshua drove them out of the promised land 300 years before. He destroyed everyone except the residents of Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. Gath bred giants, and that is where Goliath was from. Saul's soldiers saw Goliath and mumbled, "Not again." My dad fought his dad. My grandfather fought his grandfather, and now I must fight the same giant again. I'm sure you have groaned the same words. I'm becoming a workaholic like my father. Divorce streaks through our family like family tree like oak wilt. Is this ever going to stop? Goliath, a long-standing bully of the valley. He awaits in the morning and torments you at night. He blocks the sun and leaves you standing in the shadows of doubt. When Saul and his troops heard Goliath's challenge, they were terrified and lost all hope. You know your Goliath. You recognize his walk. You recognize his talk. My question to you today, is he all you see? You know his voice. But is he all you hear? David saw and heard more. Can you stick with me right now? I'm coming back to my passage. David saw and heard more. Read with me the first word he spoke, not just in the battle, but also in the Bible. Look at 1 Samuel 17:26. David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David shows up discussing God. Are you with me this morning? I don't know what your giant is. I don't know what your challenge is. But the first thing you ought to do, I know you've majored in your problem. You know the intricacies and the details of your challenges. But it's a high time you showed up in the battlefield and began to invoke the name of the living God. David shows up discussing God. The soldiers mention nothing about him. The brothers never spoke his name, despite the fact they were raised in the same house with David. But David takes one step into the stage and raises the subject of the living God. And I dare tell you today, even in this community of Edmondson Heights, if we're going to be able to accomplish the mission God has given us, we have to show up on our streets invoking the name of the living God. We've got too many gods around, but they're powerless gods. Show up at the door of a neighbor. You know, we're afraid to show up, you know. Don't just show up if you're not loaded with God. Are you with me this morning? I've shown up a couple of doors, and if it wasn't for the Lord, you don't know what goes on behind those doors. So you better be loaded up with God. But when you show up and invoke the name of the living God, watch what will happen. He does the same with King Saul. David does not chit-chat about the battle or questions about the odds. Just a God birthed announcement. 1 Samuel 17:37, this is what David says: "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." That is confidence. That is faith. That is hope. Here is the power of this passage beyond violence, beyond the violence. David shows up with God. Beloved saints of God, if you're going to conquer your giants, you must show up with the power of God. When the giant mocks David, he replies, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied." No one else discusses God. David discusses no one else but God. David sees what others don't, and he refuses to see what others do. All eyes except David's fall on the brutal, hate-breathing giant. The people know Goliath's taunts, demands, size, and strut. They have majored in Goliath. Have you been around folk? You're a person of faith and everybody's saying it can't be done. Are you with me this morning? You show up and there's a storm brewing up on the horizon and everybody else says, "This is what is going on. We've majored in the storm." Yeah, it is the storm, but I know the maker of the storm. Are you with me this morning? I'm trying to finish my sermon here, but can I just share one testimony? One day, we, as young people, we were going out. We were trying to help these children who were displaced. They were so displaced that they did not even have a place to go to the bathroom. So we decided we're going to dig a pit latrine for them. Y'all know what's a pit latrine? I'll take some of you for a mission trip. Pit latrine. That's what we do. We train first before we go on that. A pit latrine. So we decided we're going to dig a pit latrine. About a 25-foot pit latrine. There was a lot of opposition from the community. But we had prayed enough. We had talked enough. The church had been talking for a while. Can I talk a little bit here? The church board had met. The elders had met. They all knew what the problem was. And they had the solution on paper. So a few young people showed up. And I just come visiting. And they say, look, we've been talking about this situation for the last 1 year. It's about time somebody showed up to do something. Said, okay, what hinders you from being able to do this? I said, in the name of Christ, can we just go? There was a lot of opposition. But as we began to go down the pit, we dug it in sequence. We sang hymns as we dug this pit. And I told our prayer meeting one time that one of the ways I learned the hymns is to internalize the hymns, because there comes a situation when you're out there that you cannot sing using a hymnal, or there is no projection, but you are required to sing. You sing the songs of Zion. I've been to the airport as we're going out, and everybody is saying there is no aircraft that is coming. When I was in Oakwood, I'm flying, and I've been diverted to Kentucky. I need to be back in Oakwood, and someone says there is no plane coming, and for the next 2 days you're not flying home. And I remember a couple of us Oakwoodites, we sat at that airport. We refused to accept what they gave us. We sat there at the gate and we began to sing. And when you sang, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they said, by the way, there came an announcement, there is an empty plane that has just arrived for those who will want to travel down to Huntsville, Alabama. Back to this pit latrine. As we were now digging, we're just about to complete. I'm trying to show you. You come in invoking the name of the living God. A storm began to brew. And this storm kept coming. Everybody else was running. Church members were running. Elders were running. It was a threatening storm. But I thank God for young people. Young people have a boldness that sometimes we all lack. We've been in church. Sometimes we forget how God works. And so the young people say, no, 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 no. Didn't we say that God brought us this far? We formed a chain around the pit latrine. And we began to sing. And as we sang, because there were people who were still in the latrine digging, the rain came up to about a foot of where we were, and it turned and went right, and never, not a single drop touched us. When you show up invoking the name of the living God, He will show up for you. David said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. Look at the plural noun here. David does not say the God of the army of heaven. Do you see what he says? The God of what? The armies of Israel. The common observer sees only one army. Not David. He sees platoons of angels and infantries of saints. He sees the weapons of wind and the forces of the earth. God could pellet the enemy with hail as he did for Moses. God could collapse the walls as he did for Joshua. God could stir the thunder as he did for Samuel. David sees the armies of God. When David tells Goliath, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, that passage is pregnant with meaning. God of the armies of Israel literally says that Israel has God. This is God. This God is Jehovah. War is His. Meaning, He is the Lord of war, who has both war and its results in His power. David understood who God was. David sees the armies of God, and because he does, he hurries and runs towards the army to meet the Philistine. David's brothers cover their eyes both in fear and embarrassment. King Saul sighs as the young Hebrew raced towards certain death. Goliath throws back his head in laughter just enough. See how God works. Just enough to shift his helmet and expose a square inch of his forehead flesh. David spots the target and seizes the moment. He swings his sling and the stone torpedoes through the air and into the skull. Goliath's eyes cross and his legs buckle and he crumbles to the ground and dies. The great invincible giant has been defeated. That victory, my brothers and sisters, is your victory. There are five lines I want to leave with and then I'll bid you goodbye. Five lines that throb with special power for us today. Can I share with you and then go leave you now? 1 Samuel 17:26. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God, of the living God? Who does the Philistine think he is anyway? In the world teeming with enemies, God's dispirited and fearful armies long for a glimpse of his power. Behind the mask of uncertainty lurks the smoldering desire to be electrified by someone who believes. God will act to defend his name. Are you with me this morning? You can't just mess around with God's people. God will act to defend his name. 1 Samuel 17:37 says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Number two, small victories are the promise of greater ones to come. Small victories are the power, promise of greater ones to come. Bring on your giants. Past Samuel, verse 17:45 says, you come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Number three, it is not the weapons in our hands, but the banner under which we march. It is not the weapons in our hands, but the banner under which we march. Number four, a world is waiting to know that our God is alive. A world is waiting to know that our God is alive. So verse 50, 17, 1 Samuel 15, 17, verse 50 says, so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. And number five, little weapons in God's hand, in the hands of little people, mean great victories for those who trust God. David knew how to get ahead of his giant. When is the last time you got ahead of your giant? How long since you ran towards your challenge? Many times we tend to retreat from our problems and challenges. We sometimes hide behind the desk of work, or crawl into a nightclub of destruction or a bed of forbidden love. For a moment, a day, or a year, we feel safe, insulated, anesthetized. But then the work runs out, the liquor wears off, and the love leaves. And we hear Goliath again, booming his voice across the hallways of our fears. Today, I just wanted to invite you into the holiness of God. Try something different. Rush your giant with a God-saturated soul. Divorce, you're not entering my home. Giants of depression, it may take a lifetime, but you will not conquer me. Giant of alcohol, bigotry, child abuse, insecurity, you're going down. How long since you loaded your sling and took a shot at your giant? Too long, you say. This day, I present to you David, the model of how to conquer your giant. Acts 13:22 says, but God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. God called him a man after my own heart. Yes, David, the man with so many flaws, This man fell as many times as he stood. He stumbled as often as he conquered. He was real, and if God used him to conquer his giant, surely God can use someone today. We need David's story today because it is our story. Giants lurk in our neighborhoods, rejection, failure, revenge. Our struggles are many. We must face our giants today. Yet, you do not need to face them alone. Focus first and foremost on God. When David focused on God, giants fell. The days David did not focus on God, he fell. So focus on God. David did not inquire about Goliath's skills, age, or social standing. He did not ask about the weight of his spear or the size of his shield. David focuses on God. In his book, Facing Your Giants, Max Lucado says, God's thoughts outnumbered Goliath's thoughts 9-2. Are you 4 times as likely to describe the strength of God as you are the demands of your day? Is your list of blessings 4 times as much as you ponder your guilt? Is your list of blessings 4 times as long as the list of your complaints? Is your mental file of hope 4 times as thick as your mental file of dread? Beloved saints of God, if you focus on your giants, you will stumble. But if you focus on God, your giants will stumble. Lift your eyes today. Then the God who made a miracle out of David stands ready to make one out of you today. God has your destiny in his hands. Would you welcome him into your life today? That is my prayer to you. If someone is fighting some giants, I just want to say a short prayer. I don't know what your giants are. I know I have many giants that I have to fight. But if you have just some giants, you just want God to do something different today, and you want me to pray for you, I just want to offer a very quick prayer for you. Would you just stand where you are? Father, we thank you that you've not left us without hope and without help. I pray for your people who are now standing. Each one of us has some giants roaring down the hallways of our hearts and our lives. I pray now today we will come like David. We'll see the armies of God. We will invoke the name of the living God. Would you give us victory? Meet us at our doorsteps of need. Uplift us and help us to walk with you, knowing that the banner under which we walk under will cover us through all. Bless your people. Meet every prayer that has been lifted from the heart. And when you do, may they have a testimony to share. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May God bless you.